This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Man,
it's been a while. Is it ever a revolution in podcasts?
It's such a revolution, but it's a revolution in more than podcasts. It's a revolution in, well, that theme song is a revolution in music. So thank you, Eli Braden.
Yes, big shout out to Eli Braden. And you know what? Also, speaking of music, our next guest is a musician as well as an accomplished actor.
I can't wait to hear about this.
Did you know this?
I did not know this. I'm just going to say, you know, obviously when you mentioned him, I'm sure he's tired of hearing it, but he's my favorite Seinfeld Puerto Rican of all time. So I mean, that's truly the thing that I mostly, that's where I first came to know him. And then he appeared on pretty much everything.
He's literally been in everything. He's also a very talented artist.
My God.
Did you know that? Yeah. He's like 1,000 times better than you.
Better than my possible. Have you not seen my holiday turkey thing that I do off of my hand?
I haven't seen it, but I'd like to see your art, Danny.
Oh, you'll wait till you see it. It's amazing. I really break open the form. It's primitive. Yeah, really, it's a primitive style.
But ladies and gentlemen, we have Yul Vasquez.
Yul Vasquez.
Thank you.
Yul, I'm so happy you're here. And you're also a dear friend of mine. I absolutely love you to pieces.
I've never met you.
Some of the greatest texts of all time, like some of the worst, you know, Danny, some of the texts that I can't send you because you'll get offended.
Yeah, your gross stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, man.
A lot of it comes from Yul.
Yul, you're the writer of that. I'm very proud of you for that.
It's a good exchange, you know. It's a good text thread.
It really is. It's a give and take. We share.
Well, you know how like a good surgeon can't really get squeamish anymore about stuff. I feel like I feel like Jenny is that way with anything comedy, and the grosser the better, frankly.
Yeah, pretty much.
I used to think I was that person.
I don't like squeamish. I don't like goody two shoes people.
Me either.
Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like things super squeamish. I do have a line.
I can't wait to find it one day.
When it's something to do with anything poop related, I'm out.
Like, oh, you are?
Yeah, that one I can't.
Oh, so we share that. That's basically where my line is.
Yeah.
I draw the line at poop, but I also draw that line in poop. So,
that's
so far. Wow. I'm guessing best interview you've ever done, Yul.
This is amazing. What's it like at your house, Danny?
My house. Well, I blurred out the background right now. I'm in the midst of a divorce, so I'm staying at I'm renting a condo in Marina Del Rey, which I love, and has been nice, and I'm very happy here right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was referring to more with the poop.
I was going to talk about how my dad died of cancer. I was going to transition into that. No, my, you know, my house is surprisingly clean of poop usually. I mean, I wouldn't want, look, I wouldn't run a black light over my couch, but apart from that, I'd, you know, pretty clean.
Yeah. There's a few hotels I stayed in that I wouldn't bring a black light into the same zip code.
Oh, no. Yeah, Jackson Pollock, basically.
Yeah, it can get pretty, and you're laying there, and you're like, is something biting me? I don't even want to turn the light on to see if that's a real thing. Like, something's getting me.
No, sometimes I change rooms a lot. It's weird. I've gotten better, though. I used to change, I think my record was 6 times. But lately, I've been pretty, I think my neurosis has gone down.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That is good. There's been a few times I've changed rooms, but it has to be like, oh, there's a weird smell. That's usually what will be the cause for me to call down to the front desk.
Yeah, so, weird smell is, no. We don't.
I'll usually ask for some. I usually, like, I wanted one with a drain in the floor, and I don't have a drain. No, I'm kidding.
The tarps covering everything in a drain.
Yeah, I want the Dexter suite. I'm sad to say I've changed rooms because I've been given a room that I didn't love and then created a problem because I'm
interesting.
Yeah.
So you create the problem in order to get a better room.
Yeah, it's not like I actually damn. It's not like I put, like, you know, it's not like I smear shit everywhere. I just sort of say, oh, there's a weird thing. There was something in the bed. And then it's like, oh, can I change rooms? And then maybe I get an upgrade.
And then do you go just full Russell Crowe on them at the front desk? And
I do a whole, do you know who I am? Now I do. Do you know who I used to be? But back then, yeah.
No, are you in Miami, by the way?
I am. I've been going back and forth to LA shooting this TV show that actually premieres tonight on ABC. So I've been coming back to Miami. We have a place, my wife and I have a, Linda and I have a place here. You know Linda.
Yes, I know Linda.
We have a place here and which we've had for a long time. So I've been here. And then my painting studio is literally on the fourth floor of this building of another apartment, which is my studio.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What's the show, if you don't mind me asking, Ani?
It's called Promised Land. No, you know what, Danny? I do mind you asking.
I figured you would hate that.
You know, how dare you ask about a show on ABC?
The promos look
that you're starring in, and then the premiere for that. Like,
it's like Dynasty on a Vineyard kind of thing.
You know what? I actually, I make that joke. I go to work sometimes and I'll say the wrong line. Then they'll say, like, no, your line is. And I go, wait a minute, is this not Dynasty? And then I'd be like, I got in the wrong van at the hotel. I'm in the wrong set. I mean,
those shuttle vans will take you to the wrong places, man.
You know, they really will. You got to check the signs, you know. So you know, Danny, it's not kind of, in a way, it's a family drama. But it's super slickly well done, man. Beautifully, beautifully shot and written. It's I'm quite proud of the show. I've seen 2 episodes of it. And it's a family drama. So, you know, you're going to have those elements of that will remind you of certain shows and stuff like that. But it's, the cast is great. There's a lot of young kids in this cast that I think are some of the finest young actors I've worked with in a long time. Cause to be quite honest with you, sometimes when you go to work with these young actors, they're lazy and unprepared, Danny.
That's these and with the long hair, I can't tell the boys from the girls.
That's
what's
right. These kids and they're on their gizmos all day long, and they don't pay attention.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm telling you, like, that couple just threw a frisbee in my yard, and I'm keeping it.
Yeah, that's
what I'm doing right now.
You know, good for you. No, sometimes you know.
I know what you're talking about.
Being serious, these kids are really like super good and appreciative of and understanding of the opportunity that you know, because I've been doing this 30 years, man. It's like, and these kids are starting out, and sometimes you go to work and you see these kids and you want to say to them, you know, man, you're a member of the lucky club, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's a it's a privilege to be here. You're like, you know, this is not your right. Like, there's a lot of good actors and talented people that didn't get the job, you know?
Exactly.
You know, so like, show up, bring your fucking A game, man. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying completely. I just think one of the greatest curses is to peak in life early because you think that's what your life, you don't understand how special this opportunity has been for you. I'm fortunate to work with some great young actors too, who really were often the most prepared on our set. Just they really understood it. Like they got it. But it's like, but yeah, no, you wanna be prepared. So that's wonderful. And I have to tell you, those promos that they cut together, it's like, it looks great. I love sort of the it's it's a Latin show, right? It's like a Latin cast.
Mostly. It is.
Yeah. And it was like, I just think that's like a very cool, I don't know. The whole thing just seemed like, oh, I get this, felt very cool to do right here. So
yeah, I think it's the showrunner that created this guy, Matt Lopez, has done a really, really good job. It's funny. He was a lawyer, you know, in fact, at a very prominent firm that I happen to have one of my best friends is a partner at this firm. But this guy was a lawyer, and he would write, like, he would get up at like 5 a.m. and write and then go to the office. And then he was writing scripts and like trying to get something going and, you know, pitch stuff and like quit law. I mean, he left it, you know, he's a guy who fulfilled his dream. He didn't want to be a lawyer, but he was at a firm where you had to be pretty good to get into. So, I mean, he must have had very good grades, this guy.
Yeah.
I've worked with,
I would have copied his homework in high school.
I've worked with a few disgruntled lawyers, people who just like had that midlife thing where it's like, and it was like, they were doing really well. One guy who was working like New York, like a Wall Street law firm, and was doing great. And it was just, but he couldn't take it and write every night. And he just like, he made the switch and is very, you know, does well for himself now, but that's like a lot of guts. I mean, it's like sort of a lot easier when you're young and have nothing to lose to go for a career in show business than to switch.
I have a lot of respect for people who do, and for people who like, people who become expats, like somebody goes like, I'm moving to Guatemala. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, you understand, like, because it's, you know, my mother left Cuba with me and my sister.
Wow.
Been leaving communism, coming to this country, didn't speak English. And when I sit down and think about that seriously, it actually terrifies me because I couldn't do that.
No, I know. It's hard.
I wouldn't have the balls to do that, man.
Yeah.
You know what it takes to fucking do that?
I mean, very similar to your mom leaving communist Cuba. I left a news producer job to do comedy. So it's like the same thing.
It's really, I know. Were persecuted, weren't you, in news production?
Yeah, I was working at ABC News and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do what Cuban mothers have done.
I left my house in my Manhattan Beach to live in this condo with not a lot of poop in it, based on some really bad decisions I made. And so, so there you go.
What's incredible to me, Jenny, and not because I know you and I know your work, but I can't imagine you ever not being in comedy. Like, it's such a natural jam for you. Like,
yeah,
you did something else. It's just like.
Always like, I was always writing things like on the side and would write for like little freebie magazines around Houston or Austin or something like that. But it was never like really taking the plunge until I finally, like I was going through a divorce and went, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. Why not? I'll move. And you know, it was, you know, it's risky and everything, but it's, you know, you do feel like, hell, if I did that, I can do anything.
No, listen, I agree. I think, you know, one gets braver, maybe as one gets older. I didn't have those like opportunities like these young actors have. Like it all came to me at great effort and great sacrifice and like crazy hard work. And like, I feel like I've always sort of been a late bloomer and stuff.
But how did it start for you? Like, I'm sure you were working prior to Seinfeld, but that's where I first became aware of you.
I started in music.
Oh, really?
I played in bands for years. I made records. I toured every, you know, a lot of my friends, really good friends, are in bands and like in big bands.
Oh, wow.
And guys that I've known for years. So I started in music. I had acted as a child. My mother was an actress.
Oh, wow.
But I never wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be Jimmy Page. That's, you know, and all my heroes were British guitar players. So I was this Cuban kid who idolized all these English guitar players. So the last thing I wanted to be was Cuban. You know what I mean? I was like, why can't I be a Brit and a guitar player in a fucking rock band? You know what I mean?
Did you ever try the accent and try to fool people?
could you imagine that? So I walk around like a kid in Miami Beach with a British accent.
You had your teeth crooked.
Yeah. I had to have my teeth. Well, I would wear these fake teeth. So I call my British teeth. Acting comes back later in life, comes in, and then through this weird left turn. And I was in a band on Epic Records that had just gotten dropped by Epic, and we're trying to get another deal. And I started taking this acting class, and it just changed. I was a happier human. My whole life changed. So I started auditioning. Then I got 6 months later, I had my first job, and I haven't been in a band since. You know,
What was your first job?
My first job as an actor was a movie called The Mambo Kings.
Oh, I remember Mambo Kings.
How old were you?
I was 26, 27.
Wow.
First fucking job. And then I got a job. Then the second job was this movie in the Dominican Republic for the BBC. So both the same casting director. So I had really long hair. You gotta try and picture this. I had really long hair, and I'm auditioning for this movie. It takes place in the 50s. And so I would go in with this ponytail, and the director, Arnie Glimcher, who talk about basically what we're talking about, people who sort of shift. Arnie Glimcher is the owner of Pace Gallery. You know Pace Gallery?
Mm-hmm.
Arguably the most, maybe the most important art dealer in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Arnie Glimcher wanted to direct a movie. He had a client called Mike Ovitz who would buy art from Arnie. And Arnie bought the rights to the book, to the Mambo Kings play Songs of Love. And then an amazing thing happens, he buys the rights to the book, and then the book wins the Pulitzer.
Wow.
Which is just fucking mind-bending. Wow. And he wanted to direct the movie because him and his wife were Mambo fans, and they would dance at the Palladium. So it was a genuine love of Mambo, but he'd never directed a film. He didn't even direct traffic in a parking lot. Wow. I mean, it was like, so now he's going to do this fucking movie, man, and it's a big scope. So, but he surrounded himself with like great people, cinematographer, you know, Michael Ballhouse shot it, who had shot Goodfellas. And so that's my first job. But I started auditioning for this movie. Remember, some of the auditions were at Pace Gallery on 57th Street in New York. And I was, I'd go and I read six times for this movie. I wound up reading the last part I read for was Antonio Banderas's part. Arnie kept coming. He says, read for this part. Oh. So he comes, he calls me in one day. He goes, listen, I'm going to cast this guy called Antonio Banderas in this part. Yeah. But I really like you and I want you in the movie. So we're going to create a part for you. And I'm like, wait, what? You understand, it's my first job. So I'm like, I don't know much about how this racket works. You know what I mean? I'm just learning this shit as I go along. So I get the job, I go to LA, and they cut all my hair off. And I'm in a fucking Mambo band. I'm a horn player in a Mambo band. So, you know, that's how it starts. And then I go to this other movie in the Dominican Republic. And then my third job is Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, wow.
And I get the lead in the show, and Billy Friedkin's directing it.
Oh my God.
And yeah, so I was in awe of Billy Friedkin, you know?
Yeah,
I knew the movies.
Oh. Wow.
So it was, I would it was crazy. I remember when I got the job and I came back and I said, and I called him Mr. Friedkin, and he was like, I mean, I don't know if you ever met Billy, but he's completely, he's wild. He's a wild dude. He's amazing. And he's like, Mr. Friedkin is my dad. You know what I mean? He goes like, and he looked at me, he goes, I'm going to call you Mo, and you're going to call me Mo. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm like, sure, man. Like, whatever you want to do, you know? I was literally holding on for dear life, man. You know, I didn't know, you know, and this is a guy, he was already up there when we did it. I mean, he's still going. I'm friends with him on Twitter.
Wow.
But he, you know, he'd come from live television in Chicago. So he'd done every job on a set, from like the boom guy to like, he'd done it all. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't tell him anything. So he would say to a guy, the guy'd be like, I can see the boom in the shot. The guy like, well, I don't know how I'm going to get it. And he'd go like, well, come around from here. The guy would be like, I don't think this is going to work. He goes, don't you fucking tell me what's going to work. I've done your job. And he grabbed the fucking stick from the guy. And he'd go like, this is how you do it. And I was standing there like fucking terrified. It's like, this is insane. But it taught me a lot. I mean, it taught me a lot. And I would have lunch with him every day. And I could, he'd let me ask him anything. You know, I'd ask him, I asked him about Cruising. I asked him about The Exorcist, French Connection. We'd sit, I asked him about fucking Sorcerer, which is like, I don't know if you ever saw that.
I actually never did see Sorcerer, no.
I mean, Billy thinks it's, he calls it his best movie.
Oh, wow. Now I have to watch it.
It's a remake of the French one.
Yeah, I have to definitely see this now.
Yeah, nobody saw it. It's these guys are trying to drive a truck filled with nitroglycerin over this like fakakta rickety bridge. And it's like, they're like, so imagine it's Roy Scheider's driving the truck, and like, imagine they're carrying this like nitroglycerin, like they can't even take it, a bump, it'll blow up. The whole thing is unbelievable, but it's Friedkin. It's classic Friedkin, but you know, I
it's freaking Friedkin.
Freaking Friedkin.
It's freaking Friedkin, man.
I think that's what I would be calling him too, Freaky Friedkin.
We should call him that. I think that should be his Twitter handle.
Let me ask you this now. It's just a remarkable career that's how you first got started with these like
nuts.
Huge...
Yeah, it's nuts.
Crazy.
And at what point did you get into doing anything comedy-wise? Like, you've always been in a lot of serious things, but you get into Seinfeld. Like, is that something that, how did that
Seinfeld,
happen?
So Seinfeld is really interesting because, so I was in L.A., and my agent at the time, Holly Levitt, who really is a woman who, you know, I've always said that my life has been a series of smart decisions made by smart women. Like, and that's really, really starting from my mother deciding we're leaving this country and you're not going to grow up here. So, because, you know, without that, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So Seinfeld is, so this woman, Holly Levitt, calls me, who was my agent at the time. So it's a last minute, I don't know if you remember, they used to have those last, you know, like these, you know, you show up at the ZipCon, you show up at like, go now, it's 5 o'clock. The sides are there. This starts working tomorrow. Like one of those, you know, go to CBS Radford. I drive CBS Radford, you know, I get on there, I get the sides.
And what, by the way, what year was this? Like, how old were you at this point?
Seinfeld. Well, I was probably maybe 30, 20, 29, 30. This is like my fourth or fifth job now.
Oh, okay.
So I go there, and I get the sides, and it's called Bob the Intimidating Gay Guy. That's literally the name of the character. And I go, I don't know, like, what am I going to do with this? This is like, you know, so I had this idea. I go, like, literally, I go, I'm going to do an impersonation of my mother. And that's what it is. My mother was crazy intense, had a very thick Cuban accent. You know, in the show, he's Puerto Rican, but thick Cuban accent.
But you're a versatile actor. You can play Puerto Rican.
Which is crazy, right? The Cuban guy playing Puerto Rican, unheard of.
Unheard of.
Never happened before in show business.
I would protest this that is right a, now.
Like you know just what? The ceiling Danny, breaking. You can feel it. Yes.
I was breaking ground and furniture. What? Oh. I don't even know. So I go and I'm gonna do basically impersonation of my mom. So I go in the room and I do basically the character that you see. And so remember it was Jerry and Larry David were in the room and I do the thing and they're like, look at me and they go, what the fuck was that? Yeah. And I go, it's an impersonation of my mom really. They're like, okay, do it again. So I did it again. He goes, yeah, try this shit. I did that. And they go, okay, wait outside. Yeah. So I go up, you know, wait, sit in the waiting room, which is like the horrible, because, you know, they come out like everybody can go except yeah. Joey. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, you know, then you're like, I guess Joey got the job. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I got the job. I get the fucking job. And then I go do this and not expecting, not knowing what's going to happen with it, and becomes the character. And then I wound up doing three, but
yeah.
Yeah. It was Bob and Cedric, and I have to point out because the late great John Paragon, who was your partner,
that's right.
This, who well, also
that was what I was gonna yes. I was gonna say is yes. So when I got I never seen Seinfeld when I got the job, wow. So I didn't know the show, but yeah. the show was already a very well oiled and successful machine. When I find out that John Paragon is playing my boyfriend, I went mental because I was a huge Pee-wee's fan.
Pee-wee's Playhouse fan.
I literally was like, this is the best thing of this whole fucking thing is that I'm working with John Paragon. So what did I do? Of course, I asked John Paragon 1,000 questions about Groundlings, about everything. And he told me, it was amazing. He goes, I remember when Paul started developing the character, and then the day he brought in the suit, and when he started doing the, you know, and like yeah. Literally has seen, and he, the same with, what's the lady with the hair?
Oh, Miss Yvonne.
Miss Yvonne.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. He saw the whole thing. He watched because they were all Groundlings people, right. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, so
he knew that Cherry. He knew Cherry.
You know,
right, that's her name, right? Sherry. Now listen, I thought John was an incredible, remember, you know, fucking John B. the Genie, man.
Yeah, John B.
You know,
I have a question that I want to ask right after this break. Hello, Doing It Nation. Yeah. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. I just want to interject here with one thing. You know, I'm not a big football. I don't watch a ton of football, but I've been invested this year because yes. My son has been a Bengals fan since he was a young child and yes. Just picked him randomly. And it's been, so I've been watching, and this was the most amazing football I've ever seen this past
week. Yeah. This past weekend, truly four playoff games were the most exciting games. And then last night,
was bananas. Okay.
That was truly, yes.
But getting back to Bet Online, you have something to say, don't you?
Doing It Nation, Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup, info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts.
Oh, we're back, and what a great sponsor who they just are.
They do everything for me.
They do everything. Yeah. They do everything. I have a funny, like, first of all, when you're talking about you were doing your mom, there are two little anecdotes about that.
Maybe don't say doing your mom. Let's try that.
No, you're doing your mom. When I was doing your mom. No, but
rewind.
On Modern Family, Eric Stone Street always attributed Cam, the character Cam on Modern Family. It was an impersonation of his mother. And he made that exact same decision. I'm going to impersonate my mother and I'm going to get to that thing.
And well, so I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's very funny that you, so it's very funny you said. Also, I worked on the Radford lot for many years. And over the course of working there, I saw a handful of Seinfeld episodes being shot, particularly on that New York street that they had back there. And yours was one of the episodes. I was like in the back. We were watching them shoot that from the far end. We're like, oh, what are they shooting there? And, you know, we saw them running away from you. We saw them running away. They were running away. I mean, yeah. It was like really fucking funny. And that episode, there's a few that just come on where it's like, oh yeah, I was there when they shot that. So I was there for your premiere.
I remember that. You know what I remember? One of the things that was amazing about shooting outside is they had, so first of all, you know, as we've watched budgets shrink.
Yeah.
We see, so I remember this as clear as day. I remember the crafty on Seinfeld was the most insane crafty I'd ever seen. They had every flavor olive oil. It was fucking insane. And you know, we would, dude, it's like my fourth job. I'm like, what's going on? I'd go to work and we'd rehearse and they'd be like, we're gonna take a break now. You've only been rehearsing for like an hour. Yeah. It's like, we're gonna sit down. Have something to eat. They would read the paper. They had coffee. There was bagels. It was lox. It was fucking everything you could imagine. And then we'd rehearse for another like hour, and then we'd go home. It was a 4-day work week. It was the craziest thing. But they had a guy when we were outside on the New York street. There was a guy with steamed hot dog cart that would come by. And you could have like, yo, would you like a hot dog? And I'm like, Wait, what? Like a guy would like make the hot dog, like a New York fucking city hot dog.
To this day, when it was hot dog, whenever it's been hot dog,
a real hot.
Wait, say that again, Jenny. I missed you. Say it again.
I was saying like you're on a fake New York street, but with a real hot dog vendor.
Yes, real hot dog. I tell you what, a better hot dog than the one you get in New York probably fell on the ground and the guy picked it up and then put it back in the hot water.
Exactly. My dad used to tell us when I was young, because I grew up in New York, but he said, tonight, the first time he came, he goes, yeah, we're going to New York and we're going to eat at the Umbrella Room. I was like, the Umbrella Room, what's that? The hot dog stand was the Umbrella
Room. Exactly. Yeah, the Umbrella Room, yeah. Well, the fucking
that was
hot dog.
Kind of a funny joke. By
the way, your audition for Seinfeld sounds like it could be like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Well, you know what's amazing?
Coming out saying like, who are you doing, your mother?
I'll tell you what's crazy. So I just worked with David Mandel, who worked on Seinfeld and then Veep. And he worked on Curb. And I said to David, I said, man, you know, I always wanted to do Curb. You know, like I would, and I said to him, I always wanted to like do the Seinfeld character on Curb. And yeah. David said, yeah. No, Yul, the idea would be to have you on Curb confronting Larry saying, you ruined my fucking life with this character. I yes. can't go anywhere. Everybody thinks I'm the gay guy from Seinfeld.
Yeah, I can't get pussy. I can't get any.
Now I'm going to pitch on it. I would even say that you need to intimidate Larry David as you in much the same way your character intimidated Kramer. Like
I would love that. I would. I hope Larry sees this. I hope you know.
Can I? Before we get to our recommendations, I'm very curious about the question for both of you. How did you two meet?
We met through Sammy and Wesley. Oh,
yeah. Really?
Yeah. And yeah, how long ago? Like, how long have you known Sammy?
That 28 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we were in acting class together. That acting class had changed my life. That's where I met him.
Wow. And there was like who else was in that acting class? Wasn't there like you and Sammy? Was, and
Jennifer Beals.
Wow.
There was who else? Alex Rockwell, no relation, who was Jenny Beals' boyfriend and then husband, who was a very successful film director, actually, who quite know what he's doing, but he was in the class. And then Gretchen Mol.
Oh, wow. Jesus. No slouch that class.
Yeah. No, I remember you. Like, I feel like we knew each other for a couple of years, before I even put two and two together that you were Bob from Seinfeld.
Oh, that's
like,
funny.
Like we hung out, like partied, yeah. And like had like, and then at some point, I can't remember if like Bib or someone, because I'd seen you in plenty of different things, and I don't know why, I just had never put that together. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, shut your mouth. And then Linda, your wife, who I find out the same night, I think, did the voice of Princess Jasmine.
She is Princess Jasmine.
Wow.
Yeah, in Aladdin. And I was like, how have I known these people for like 2 years at this point? And I just found this out.
No, Linda is like bona fide, you know, handprints in the concrete, like Disney, minted Disney legend. I was there at her induction at D23.
That's remarkable.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But, I did, by the way.
She still does the voice. It appears in like, you know, whenever they license it to a doll or a game or something, you know, it's in every movie. It's crazy.
That's huge.
Yeah. I always just had mad respect too because y'all didn't have kids, and I always appreciate people that don't have children.
And I've also
listen,
and
you
I've
just always, be raising your own enemies. You don't want.
Yeah. I can't relate at all. I had that same thing where you didn't know like what that he was on, that you was on Seinfeld or Jasmine. I played poker in this game for like once a week for like a couple months, 8 or 9 months with this one guy, a shortish guy, tattooed. I knew he was in the music industry. I had no idea. And at one point he's like, yeah, you should come to Vegas because we're going to be playing there. I was like, oh yeah, it'd be great. It would be great. They're talking about it. And it was like AJ from the Backstreet Boys. I've been playing with him for 2 months before I knew he was, I was playing with the Backstreet Boys. Yeah. One of the guys from the poker game who I knew grew up with him, and they're like, best friends, and but it, like it's very funny. Like if you're not like tuned in that scenario,
but isn't that just great though? That you
I
just,
love
like,
it.
Yeah, you just love the dude. You were like, yeah, I like exactly. That dude, and then you find out, oh, he's fucking AJ. Like,
yeah,
but you already liked him as like he was a cool dude.
Yeah, so that was fun. Well, that feels like a good transition into speaking of transitioning into what Guy says is his favorite part of the show. No, I'm kidding. Oh. He likes the whole show. No, it's where we talk about stuff that we've been watching and liking and enjoying in all various medias. And is there anything you want to give a shout out to that you've been enjoying? It could be something old, new, borrowed.
Yeah, you know, we've just been watching Yellow Jackets. You guys see?
Oh, yeah. I just literally took mine. I just watched
that
the first
That was
going
to be my fucking
That's great. Keep going. Talk about it. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, we just finished it last night.
It does it hold up? Is it good all the way through?
Yeah, it's good. I think they're positioning it for quite a tremendous season two.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
But
in that is great though. I mean, the whole cast is phenomenal.
On Yellow Jackets?
Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. No, it's really good. There's a show that I saw during the height of the pandemic that a lot of people I don't think they know. It's called 000.
000.
What was that on?
It's Andrea Riseborough and Gabrielle Byrne and Dane DeHaan, and it follows. It's absolutely beautifully shot and impeccably directed. It follows a shipment of cocaine from.
Oh, I saw this.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and like from that it takes them from Monterey, but it's also dealing with what's going on in Italy. There's
correct.
Like, it's violent.
It's amazing. It's crazy violent. Yeah, I mean, you know, but you love poop, so you'll be all right with that.
I love poop. I only love poop if it's after. Like, I like when someone evacuates themselves after they're murdered. But that's the only.
Yeah, no, that's well, that's what happens to the body. Really.
But yes, that is really good. I don't know.
Talk about letting go. Good night, everybody.
Tomorrow week.
and my brilliant friend. I can't say enough good things about my brilliant friend. Did you see that?
No. What is? I've heard about it. What is it?
Based on books.
Yeah.
It's about these two Italian girls growing up in Naples. It's all in Italian with subtitles. I mean, it's fucking incredible, man. It's incredible.
Oh, I get it. I'll definitely check.
I mean, I could talk about like these really obscure, like weird indie movies I watch, which is kind of like what I love. But you know, like movies that my agent and my manager go, yeah, no, I get it. You want to do a movie that pays nothing and shoots in 18 days. No, we get it. I'm like, wow. That's yeah. one way to look at it. But, you know, I mean.
A friend of mine wanted to write a book and his agent said to him, what if I just gave you $800? Which basically
cut out the middleman and all like the year of stress and sweat.
That's harsh, man.
That's harsh. I know. I thought that was harsh too.
That's fucking harsh. Yeah. Yeah. My manager is like a real ball buster. She's like, I know what you want to do. Anyways, yeah, if I see something, I'll let you know. Wait, hold on. Like, we're having a conversation about this, no? like not really.
Well, Jenny, what about you? Yellow Jackets was my whole thing, so I'm
Yellow Jackets for sure. Somebody Somewhere, Bridget Everett's new show on HBO.
I love her, man.
This is going to be her thing. It just really shines a spotlight on her talent. It's just so, it's like heartwarming. It's funny. It's like,
what is it on?
It's on HBO.
Fuck, I gotta see that.
Yeah, HBO. I've been down, of course, I love My Righteous Gemstones. It's horribly inappropriate.
I gotta love that. I gotta watch that. I haven't seen it.
It's so ridiculous, but it's
Danny McBride.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. Yeah, Danny McBride's amazing. You know, he's just amazing.
Then Stay Close.
Is Walt Goggins on that?
Walt Goggins plays Baby Billy, the evangelist.
I love that.
Yeah, he's got a white wig on and he's fucking preaching perfect. the good book. But every one of them, Edie Patterson she plays Judy Gemstone, one of the siblings to Danny McBride, and to drawing a blank on his name. Danny, you know.
Oh, Adam Devine.
Adam Devine, yeah. So it's like the three of them are siblings. Baby Billy, Walt Goggins, who also, is a mutual friend. He plays John Goodman's baby brother, Baby Billy. And they're just the worst, horrible people ever. It's just what you would imagine, like these, you know, people that consider themselves Christians, but they all have private jets.
I love that.
It's really funny. Harlan. Oh, what's that?
Did you say you saw Stay Close? I need to watch that because my friend Harlan.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I just started it, but that's Harlan. Harlan Coben, his new gig on Netflix. It's got all the twists and turns, so you can't like dick around on your phone and watch it.
No, I know.
I love that. That sounds cool.
Yeah, he's great. He's cool. I went to high school with that guy. So no one does those. No one knows how to end an episode to make you want to watch the next episode better than he does. It's just, he's just the greatest at it.
What was the one he had? Was it The Stranger?
Yeah, The Stranger was that other one. And he also
The Stranger.
That was fantastic. Those are my picks. And what about you, Daniel?
You've taken them. I mean, the only thing I've watched of you know what I actually liked? I take that back. I wound up watching Encanto.
Oh, I watched that too. I loved it.
Absolutely. Wasn't expecting to. I thought I liked Coco already. Coco is better than this. And it is better. Coco's maybe one of my top three Pixar movies of all time. But this isn't Pixar. This is Disney. And it is really sweet. The music's amazing. Yeah. The animation is spectacular. I just thought it was, I was so surprised how much I loved Encanto. So that's fine.
I'll have to check it out. Stephanie Beatrice,
I believe, is the voice.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, fantastic. Fellow Texan.
Encanto. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
I had also seen that Raya and the Last Dragon, which I loved.
I haven't seen that yet. I heard that was great.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm not afraid. I'll watch a Disney movie, Pixar.
No, you'll say that. Sometimes I'll call you up and just like, I can't. I'm fucking up some Disney tonight.
Yeah, I can't. I got a bag of edibles and the Disney Plus app and I'm going to town, son.
Yeah. I'm princessing the fuck out of this bitch. Yeah.
That's right. You know, I know like all the princesses because they're all, you know, they're all friends.
You're married to one.
You're married to a princess, for God's sake.
But I know the Little Mermaid and Belle, and it's like it's an amazing world, man. I've also been to that club inside Disney Club 33.
Me too. Is that the coolest?
Yes, that's just wild in there. And then when you learn about the history of it, you know, I mean, it's crazy hard to get into that club.
No, it's like the hardest club. It's like crazy. We shot at Disneyland like midway through our run on Modern Family, and we got, they took us all out to dinner at Club 33. And did you see that there's a private suite you can stay at, and like two of our actors stay there? It's amazing. So
you know, that I have to tell you, not because I'm on this thing with you, but that was one of the greatest shows I'd ever seen, man.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
And I always, you know, I always gauge something when, if I say, fuck, I wish I was in that.
Yeah.
That's when I know I really love this, you know, and I've said, fuck, I wish I was in that to a lot of things. And then I was in it, but not yours.
Well, hold on. We're blowing up again on TikTok for some reason. A lot of Modern Family memes. So maybe we'll be back for a reboot. We'll keep you.
You've literally been in everything that I'm like, holy shit, I love Succession. Oh, there's you.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you're in everything.
Succession was, you know, I got to say, I have a show that I'm really proud of. It's coming out on the 18th of February that Ben Stiller directed and produced. It's called Severance, and it's on Apple. It's Adam Scott.
Oh, wow.
It's a terrible cast. Adam Scott, Chris Walken, Turturro, Patricia Arquette. It's a bunch of hacks.
Oh, my God.
Who's running cast. Shit over at Apple?
Well, it sounds like a Love TV. Boat.
What a garbage truck over there.
Sounds like a terrible Love Boat episode.
That's a terrible Love Boat episode. No, it's a super cool show. It's a very high concept show. It's shot beautifully. I mean, the whole thing, I have to say, is pretty, I'm really proud of that.
So and that comes at Severance February 18th.
We'll link to that trailer, and we'll link to the premiere that is tonight. So you won't hear, you know, this thing is coming out probably tonight. So, or tomorrow. So, you know, definitely.
You think Guy can pull it together that fast?
Look at that face. Look at him right there. Smile.
I mean, look at that.
He's ready to pull it together.
He's totally confident. Hey, Yul, thank you so much. For doing
Are you kidding me? This was fucking an absolute blast, man.
Oh, we love that.
Amazing.
We enjoyed it. I've heard about you, but from Jenny in particular, so many times. It's so nice to finally meet you.
Yeah. I adore Jenny. I think the world of her. I think she's a huge talent, and I genuinely like her since I met her. And Jenny's like a real three-dimensional human that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Yul. I've loved you from the moment we've met. We've always been buds. And Danny, you know, I love you. God.
I know. I feel, look, it's a love fest. We love each other.
Danny, I love you. I got to say, I'm on the fence about Guy, but I only saw him briefly.
Guy, you know, we've seen Guy a lot over the years, and we're still on the fence.
Yeah.
Well.
No, we love Guy. Guy is the glue that we sniff to make us funny.
And on that perfect note,
well, love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Stick around. We're gonna take a picture, but to do an animation, we love you. We'll see you next week. Y'all.